You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Some see incarceration as punishment, even vengeance. Others see it as a means to keep the public safe. More recently, prisons have become an opportunity for rehabilitation. Today, as we continue our series, Life on the Inside, we find out what Heidi Washington thinks. She spent her career working for the Michigan Department of Corrections and became its director in 2015. Stateside host Lester Graham sat down with Director Washington to get her thoughts on just what prisons are for.
This is going to be a wide-ranging kind of philosophical conversation, so let's start with some fundamentals. What is the purpose of a prison?
Well, I think the purpose of the prison is obviously to provide public safety and to keep people who have harmed society separate from society. So I think that's historically what the purpose of prison has been. But I think we're evolving and we're expanding what prison is all about.
Well, what's your driving philosophy on what a correction system or a prison should be?
Well, you know, the Michigan Department of Corrections is here to provide public safety to the citizens of Michigan. And we do that in the short term by incarcerating people and by supervising individuals on probation and parole. But what we're really after in Michigan is long-term public safety. And how do we create long-term public safety? And, you know, that's the real challenge. And we want that to be productive time. We want it to end up being time that is transformative and where when people leave and go out into the world, we can create long-term public safety because we've equipped them with what they need to be successful in the world.
What do you mean by that? What do you do for them that allows them to get to that point?
Well, you know, a number of things. We are focused on delivering programs that are based in evidence, that are geared towards their areas of particular risk and need. We are very focused in this department on education and employment and teaching and training. And so I think it's all of those things that we're working on before these men and women leave us and go back out into the world.
We talked to a lot of inmates, and some of them have been there decades, a lot longer than you or any other staff member at DOC. In what way would a prisoner who'd been there for 30 years be treated or have opportunities that he or she wouldn't have had 30 years ago?
Well, again, in my 23 years in the department, we've evolved and are doing things much differently. For people that you've spoken to who have been here for that number of years, I'm sure they'll tell you a lot's different. The investment in education, the investment in programming, I hope the training of our staff and the interactions that they have with staff, you know, the focus on the future, the focus on not letting the thing that you did define the rest of your life and rather focusing on turning prison time into productive time. You know, another big change is the way society views this. We're in a time right now where criminal justice reform and the idea of hiring returning citizens, of bringing people back into the community, of providing the necessary supports to them.
You have been talking about keeping the public safe from somebody who might do them harm. You've talked about rehabilitation of a fashion. Another thing that the public often considers jail to be or prison to be is punishment. How do you balance rehabilitation versus punishment?
Sure. Well, I mean, people come to prison as punishment for the crime that they commit, but they don't come to prison for punishment. And so, you know, once they get here, I think it is our job to, of course, you know, ensure that the sentence that the court handed down, that they serve that time. But again, that we look at this environment as a productive environment. And, you know, more and more in this country and certainly in this state and across the nation, we're looking at humanizing prison. And we need to look at every individual as a human being. And so that's part of, you know, what we're doing and part of what we do in these programs.
We've been talking about making sure that inmates have some kind of job skills and other personal skills that they need to go back into society. But if someone is sentenced to life in prison or their sentence is so long it's essentially life in prison, what role would rehabilitation have in their lives?
Well, I'm sure that you had the opportunity to speak to some of those people on your visit. And I think it's important for all of us to have the opportunity to grow and to develop and to give back, no matter what our environment is. And so the reality is that for many men and women, their environment is going to be prison. And it's important to, you know, be successful and to have the confidence and the tools that you need to be successful in that environment. Of course, because our resources are limited, there are, you know, not as many opportunities for people in that circumstance. But that's one of the things that our strategic plan focuses on, is ways that we can expand those types of opportunities for that population.
Yeah, among the lifers, there was a lot of talk about self-worth and contributing to society. And
right. That
at Lakeland Correctional Center, that's done because they have these large gardens and they give this produce to the city of Coldwater, which I thought was really interesting. What's the best way for Michigan to further reduce recidivism, to stop released offenders from returning to prison? I saw that your recidivism rate has been going down.
Right. So the recidivism rate, which is the measurement at which individuals return to prison after 3 years, in Michigan, it's roughly about 29%. And we've made great strides in that, from a high of well over 50% several years ago. So how do we continue to work at that? Well, you know, again, I think it's continuing to find opportunities for self-growth, for employment, for education, for proper role modeling, all of those types of things. There's studies out there that demonstrate that money spent on education, you know, it works. And we're demonstrating that through our education programs in Michigan, through our partnership with Jackson College and Mott and Delta and Calvin, as well as with the Vocational Village, where, you know, we've had about 700 men leave the program and less than 15 have returned to prison, which is pretty remarkable.
Do you believe that the lawmakers in Lansing, the most of them anyway, understand and support your vision of what correction systems should look like?
I think we've been very fortunate to have a number of our legislative partners take the time to come and tour facilities. We've had actual hearings at prisons this time around, which is something different. I don't recall in my entire career that we've ever had a legislative hearing at one of our prisons. So I think there is a great interest in what we're doing. And, you know, I think we're definitely headed in the right direction.
How do you persuade a skeptical lawmaker who might only be interested in making sure bad people are locked up?
I would say, and I've said this, look, we can't afford not to do this. We're spending $2 billion in this state running the Department of Corrections, and certainly billions more across this country, and not getting outcomes that we'd like to see. And so investing in the kinds of things that we're doing is helping us to get better outcomes. And, you know, when I talk about better outcomes, I'm, you know, of course, talking about, you know, the cost of incarceration. But the costs that can't be measured are far greater than that. And that's the cost to our communities, to our families, to the children of these individuals. And those are costs that we need to be looking at, because we want to stop this process as early in somebody's life as possible, right? So that's one of the reasons why I've been focusing on the front end of the system, on probation so much, is to try to have early interventions with people at their earliest intersection with the criminal justice system, so we can get them on the right track before they experience the negative repercussions of incarceration and before their families are harmed by that as well. And so there are a lot of consequences to this. And, you know, I think that people are paying attention, and I think that Michigan's on the right track.
You mentioned $2 billion a year. The Department of Corrections eats up a huge portion of the state budget. Dollars are tight. Prisons are understaffed. Many corrections officers are forced to work double shifts for days at a time. That's mandatory overtime. That's a morale killer. What can be done about that?
Right. Well, you know, we are very focused, it's in our strategic plan, on wellness within the Department of Corrections, acknowledging that this is a tough environment sometimes to work in, and it does take its toll.
Let me stop you there, because you're talking about working with the symptoms. How about the cause? And that's that mandatory overtime.
Right. Well, that is, you know, one of the issues. And we have a very heavy emphasis on recruiting in the department. We have been running quarterly academies. Just this week, I was up in the UP speaking to a new academy that started there, and we will start an academy down here with another 185 recruits. And so, you know, we will continue to put heavy emphasis on recruitment, but we need to also work on retention. And when I talk about employee wellness, I think that is part of it as well. And so investing in our employees, giving them the tools and resources they need to deal with the stress that comes along with this job. And, you know, I think that that's also important when we talk about the environment, the prison environment. And one of the things that I would really like to start to measure is the environment that is created when you have something like the vocational village, a productive, pro-social, pro-learning environment, and to be able to study the effects of that on the prison culture. Because when you come to a place like that, it's a positive place. And we've seen it through these last few years that prisoners don't engage in misconducts. There aren't grievances. It's a completely different feel. And that creates a more positive working environment for staff, less stress and, you know, less people taking time off and those sorts of things. So that's part of what I would like us to be studying in the whole realm of retention and employee wellness in the future.
Why is it so hard to retain and recruit people for the jobs?
Well, I mean, for one thing, you know, the economy is doing great right now. It's booming, and there's a lot of opportunities for jobs. I think law enforcement across the board is struggling with recruitment, and so we're no different. You know, I think we need to continue to educate people about why this is a great place to work and about the opportunity to, you know, have a meaningful, long-lasting career that is truly, you know, impacting people's lives. But again, it is, you know, it's not for everybody. And sometimes the hours are long and, you know, there are things that happen that we have to deal with that you're just not going to have to face in other career choices that you might make.
And right. So, yeah. And I wanted to get to that because you keep talking about wellness, but, you know, the overtime, you know, they're missing their kids' games, they're missing holidays, and then the stress, they see violence in a way that many of us can't imagine, and they can't really talk to family about that. So who can they talk to? Is this wellness program giving them a chance to I don't know, talk out their issues, their problems?
Right. So the wellness program, which we just created and launched, which, by the way, was the result of a cross-section team of staff that I put together from all across the department. I said to them, you know, we need to focus on wellness. We need to invest in wellness. And I want you guys to get together and think about ways that we can do that. What would the ideal program look like? And how could we implement something in this department? What would it take? They came back to me with a proposal for the creation of a wellness unit with five staff that would staff it. Four of them are clinician level staff and one chaplain. I accepted their proposal, and we have invested in that, and we have created it. And it is a 24-hour-a-day, 7 days a week opportunity for staff and their family members and retirees to access these clinicians. They've hit the ground running. They are all over the state responding to incidents, responding to requests for assistance, and they've got, you know, a lot of work ahead of them, but I can tell you that they have already made a tremendous impact on this department. We'll have a peer support network stretching across the entire department from the field to the prisons, and we'll have specially trained peer supports that are on site to be able to assist people as well. I'm not sure, and I don't know of any other department yet in the country that is investing the type of resources that we are on wellness.
As we've already mentioned, stateside visited Lakeland Correctional Center in Coldwater. And when I mean a lot of reporters and photographers, first of all, thanks for letting us in. We appreciate that. We were repeatedly told by staff and inmates that Lakeland was one of the best, if not the best, prison in Michigan. And I can understand why you would send us to the best. But how does it compare to a typical Michigan prison?
First of all, I'm thrilled to hear, you know, that staff and prisoners alike said that their facility was the best, because that tells me that they take pride in it. And I think that's really important. And again, there's a lot of great things going on there, the contributions that they make to the community, the dedication of the staff. And I think that if you came to the Parnell Correctional Facility in Jackson, where I just spent the day, they'd tell you the same thing. And I could replicate that over and over.
Lakeland is a little different, we should say. It has a high number of lifers. I think 44% of the population there are serving life sentences. It has a large geriatric population. A lot of those are lifers. How does Lakeland fit into the correction system landscape?
Yeah, well, you kind of just explained it a little bit. Lakeland's niche, when I think about Lakeland, is they have that special wing for geriatric prisoners. So they have developed, I think, a good system for working with that special population. And so we actually started initially developing the prisoner care aides down at Lakeland because of that population, where we actually have some prisoners and a lot of them lifers that have the opportunity to assist with some of the more frail prisoners and help them with some of their activities of daily living and help them get around and all of those types of things. So again, going back to your prior comments, it gives them a sense of community. It gives them a purpose. They're able to help and give something back right there at their own facility.
We wanted to ask you one more question and get your thoughts on a question that we asked a lot of inmates at Lakeland Correctional Center. And we put it like this. A lot of people think that anyone who's in prison must deserve to be there. So why should they care what happens in there? So why should people care about what happens inside our prisons?
Well, they should, because we're all human beings. And regardless of what people did in the world to land themselves in prison, 95% of them are coming home, and we want to treat people in a humane manner, and we want to help them, you know, with the issues that they're having, with their mental health issues, with their anger management issues, their education, with whatever their needs are, so that when they come out and they come and live in our community, that they can be productive members of society. So we absolutely should care what happens to them in prison. We should care how the prison is run, and we should care what's happening, you know, with our tax dollars there.
Heidi Washington is the director of the Michigan Department of Corrections. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.